Welcome to Driven to Business with your host, Eddie Mayfield. Driven to Business is a business forum program that focuses on success principles in business. And now, it's time for Driven to Business.
Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of Driven to Business. I'm your host, Eddie Mayfield. We're glad you're here. We're here every morning on Atlanta's Biz 1190 at 11 o'clock. And by the way, we're streaming live on biz1190.com. And today's program will be podcast on eddiemayfield.com and on iTunes. And by the way, you can go to iTunes and subscribe to our podcast. So check us out. You know, here on Driven to Business, we like to talk about a variety of business subjects. And we like to talk about leadership and careers and things of that sort. Our guest today is John Moeller. John is the president and CEO of Action Ministries. I should have said Reverend John Moeller. John, welcome to business, to Driven to Business.
Thanks, Eddie. It's good to be here.
John, I often say to many people that I sometimes think that running a not-for-profit business is sometimes a lot harder in terms of motivating people and so forth than it is even for those of us that run for-profit businesses. At least we ostensibly try to run a for-profit businesses. We're not a nonprofit on purpose, although that does happen occasionally. But tell us about Action Ministries. Just give us some the background on that.
Well, thanks, Eddie. And, you know, you're so right. During the most recent Great Recession, there were a lot of businesses that were not for profit.
Exactly.
And the goal for all of us is, at least in the nonprofit sector, is to turn a small profit that you can drive back into the business for greater impact on the lives of those that you're charged with serving. And Action Ministries is proud to be serving low-income Georgians. We've been around for 50 years, and the goal is to lead people out of poverty, and we do that with three tools in our toolbox: housing, hunger relief, and education. And the goal is when you put those three tools together, you can really make an impact in the lives of those who are suffering. And we've had the good fortune over the last 12 months of touching 144,000 distinct lives with these programs across the entire northern half of the state of Georgia. So we're really proud to mobilize volunteers out of the faith community, out of the business community, out of civic clubs. And when we're able to mobilize those volunteers, we're able to have the kind of impact that I've just spoken to you about.
I should remind everyone or tell everyone that John's website is actionministries.net, so check them out there. I'm always interested in the perspective of people that work, that actually are involved in the nuts and bolts of ministries rather than just the theories of them. I've been privileged to serve alongside a number of people in that area serving people that are low income and perhaps unfortunate folks. Something that always comes up with people when we are not around that at all is when you look at a country like the United States that is so wealthy and we're such a blessed nation in so many ways, how and why does poverty exist in a country like this?
You know, Eddie, Alexis de Tocqueville, 200 years ago, upon visiting the United States and visiting with Thomas Jefferson, in fact, at the time, said, you know, we have poverty in Europe, but here in America, you hide your poverty very well. And you know, right here in our very communities where we live and we work, I don't see poverty to and from my grocery store and to and from my office.
Right. But you know, it's not like if you're in a third world country where it's just right in your face when you're.
That's right. It's tucked into trailer parks. It's tucked into apartment complexes. It's, you know, and here in the East where the forest is abundant, it's people, you know, actually even living in the woods. Right. And so all we have to do is look just a little bit and we can find it. But unfortunately, there are so many low-wage jobs that there are generations of Georgians, generations of Atlantans who are living below the poverty line. These are good, hardworking people. Who, frankly, are just earning a minimum wage or a low wage in their tasks. And, frankly, a lot of those jobs have disappeared in recent years due to the effects of the Great Recession. A lot of those construction industry jobs are gone, and those folks are really caught without. And that's why Action Ministries wants to help with job skills and education and training to help people retool to enter the job force, and particularly acquire higher wage jobs.
Yeah, I noticed one of the three things you mentioned when you mentioned housing, the three things that your ministry deals with, housing, hunger, and education, was the three that you said there. I was That's thinking right. while you were talking that part of that moving from a manual labor economy to a more high-tech industry. You know, I grew up in Alabama, and the steel industry, when I grew up, it was impossible as a kid not to know someone. In fact, it was almost impossible not to have someone in your family that didn't either work in the steel mills or in the mines that fed the ore and the coal to those steel mills. That was just impossible to do that. Well, they're still making as much steel in Birmingham as they ever made, but they don't employ anywhere near the amount of people they used to employ. At one time, it was tens of thousands employed, and it's a lot less than that now. And it has to do with technology.
That's right.
The fact that we've increased productivity in the United States, in dramatic leaps and bounds, productivity has increased. The dark side of an increase in productivity is that the low-skilled jobs, many of those are now done by machines. And you don't need four guys pushing wheelbarrows through a plant anymore. You've got a conveyor belt that takes care of that and an automatic loader and unloader, which works 24/7, 7 days a week, never takes vacation, never takes a break, never takes a smoke break, anything. So the plants have those out there going. Let me ask you, this is a little bit of an aside. I've worked with a ministry here in town that for a number of years that deals with the street homeless type folks that some of us are familiar with in the downtown Atlanta area. And one of the things I always was impressed with these guys that I was around was that, number one, I was so naive about a lot of this, still am in many ways, and I would do things trying to be helpful to folks that in fact were probably enabling bad behaviors, and I would get chastised a bit, say, don't do that because you're encouraging this or that, and you let do that our way because we know what we're doing. And these are people that care deeply for these people. They were not cynical about them. I expect you run into a bit of that yourself, where you perhaps have to take a bit of a sterner stance with people at times.
Well, Eddie, that's the truth. You know, this past year, Action Ministries has helped 1,400 individuals exit homelessness permanently forever.
That's great.
And the goal of the program is always housing stability. We're not interested in a handout. We're not interested in a temporary Band-Aid solution. We're interested in seeing people once and for all permanently stably housed in housing under their own control. And let's not assume that's an easy task. I mean,
no.
If you've fallen and you've lost everything, you've lost all your personal belongings, you've probably lost your job, you may be out of touch with family connections. Our job at Action Ministries is to help knit together your life. And it oftentimes starts with work and the workforce. But obviously, it is also building a new network, net weaving, getting reconnected to housing supports, community supports. And as a result, what we see oftentimes is there's a skills deficiency that we've got to work on. We're going to help with the housing piece. But most importantly, we want to knit that individual and that family back into the community life. And in this day and age where we live in such a mobile society and people bounce from community to community, they don't have those community connections, and they underestimate how important they are. And our job is to help them reconnect with the faith community, with the business community that they're surrounded with, build new friendships of mutual support. And as you have said, it's a mutual accountable process, and oftentimes it takes months. It might even take up to 2 years in some cases.
You know, I think that is one reason why many of us like me that may just have a big heart and want to help, we can sometimes do the wrong thing, even trying to help, because we don't have the experience or the expertise to deal, and we've not thought that through very deep. You know, something that comes to mind where you're talking about a person that's lost their job and now, you know, particularly, I think it's the male breadwinner of a family. You've lost your job. There's a part of that that is just very demoralizing.
That's right.
And I was expecting that possibly you have to deal with that a bit too. People that are just, you can demoralizing. We can become demoralized to the point that we're almost paralyzed.
We don't know how to ask for help.
Right.
And I was trained by my dad never to ask for directions.
Right.
And I'm glad
you say that. I always told my son that too.
and unfortunately, I need directions in life. I need somebody who will tell me which way the path is that I'm supposed to follow. And unfortunately, when we make bad decisions, oftentimes we embark on a course that's going to head downhill. And too many folks have found themselves in that situation. They haven't asked for help. And by the time they need it, it's too late. And a Band-Aid isn't going to fix that massive problem that they've now wound up in terms of homeless. And so our job is to help them once again address the immediate needs of housing and hunger relief, but also begin to rebuild those lives. And we need lots of people to be involved. I mean, yes, there's an opportunity for people who are trained in this field, in a master or a bachelor of social work, but it's not limited to people with
right.
that skill set. We need folks from every nook and cranny of this community to get involved in the lives of others. It's all about, Eddie, it's all about building relationships of mutuality and accountability. And when we're accountable with each other, we can help people make steps towards progress.
I want to talk to you after the break about the role that volunteers can play with you there at Action Ministries. I read a little bit about some of the things they can do. And it's not only, I'm not disdaining this either, there are the things of providing food and so forth and helping with that, but there's also many other things that I was looking on your website about, teaching skills and things of that sort. One quick story before the break. When my son, you're talking about directions. When my son was young, he and I had gone somewhere and we got totally lost. I've always kidded him about, men don't ask for directions. So we stopped. I finally had to stop because we were totally lost. This was before GPS days. I stopped at a convenience store to ask a guy how you got back to the freeway, and he told me, and we got back to the car, and Trey, who was about 7 at the time, Trey said, "Don't worry, Dad, I won't tell Mom you stopped." You're listening to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. We're talking with Reverend John Moeller with Action Ministries. By the way, you can find him at actionministries.net, and there will be links to him on eddiemayfield.com. We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Driven to Business. Welcome back to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. We're talking with Reverend John Moeller with Action Ministries. You can find them at actionministries.net. John, right before the break, we were talking about the fact that that your organization, although you have a professional staff and a board of directors and all that, you guys are very, very dependent on volunteers. And as I was telling you during the break, I think sometimes when people like me hear that an organization like Action Ministries needs volunteers, I think you need me to give money or to make sandwiches or something like that. And you can use that. But there are many, many other things you have volunteers doing that perhaps are not so obvious to us.
Isn't that true? And I think people in this world, they want to make a difference. And they're looking for leadership. And too oftentimes they think that it's going to be simply hard manual labor that's required.
Right.
And they're not interested in they've already done that somewhere, and they're ready to do something that gives greater meaning. And so Action Ministries provides volunteers an opportunity to get to know people who could stand a little bit of help. And we facilitate introductions and relationships. And when we do that, the volunteers get an opportunity to work hand in glove with individuals and families who are going through our program. And there's nothing richer than building a relationship with somebody where you have something to offer and they have something to offer, and together both of your lives are changed. And we see that happening through GED classes, where individuals have finally come to that point where they're ready to improve their skills, their reading level, their math, and they've come to that breaking point. And they're so grateful for someone who's willing to mentor, someone who's willing to work with them on math. And that's where, there's lots of folks out there who are educators or who just happen to have a love for reading and math, who'd love to mentor or tutor someone who's going through that program. Those folks are so grateful for the investment. you know, our families that are going through transitional housing. They've lost it all, and they are pulling themselves up by their bootstraps with the help of Action Ministries and our team and our staff. But so oftentimes it's the volunteers who are going to introduce them to their friends, their colleagues, their business associates, who are going to help form bonds that are going to see that family well beyond the time that they live in the Action Ministries housing program, because they're getting connected across the community, and they may form lifelong friendships. And that's going to happen for children that are going through our program. We've got an after-school program here in Atlanta where children who are homeless and near homeless are getting off the school bus at our program, and we have volunteer opportunities for educators and people who just want to touch the life of a child to work one-on-one with that young child to help them overcome the barriers and the host of barriers that that child faces. So, yeah, there are a myriad of ways that volunteers, both from the corporate background, from churches and institutions of faith, can get involved, or people, frankly, that don't have an affiliation anywhere,
right,
but feel a tug to get involved and to make a difference.
John, for people that are electro nerds like Isaac and I, and you know, we're sort of live the technology world. What could we do using our background that could help someone perhaps in the situation?
Well, you know, almost all of GED and basic literacy curriculum these days are internet based,
right?
And so, frankly, people are learning to read and write and do math in front of a computer screen, and oftentimes people are so intimidated by that computer screen. And so oftentimes it just means sitting down with somebody for the first time and saying, here's the on button, here's how we're going to work this, this is a mouse, and people are eager to learn. So yeah, there's an opportunity for, as you say, computer nerds to be involved and to offer their skills, and they're received so warmly by those who are going through our programs.
Well, you know what? Our company, Computer Nerd, is not a derogatory term. We like that term. We're absolutely fine with it. On your website and in some of the material that I have had on your ministry, you guys talk about feeding a family on $5, which sounds impossible. How do you do that?
Well, you know, we are so fortunate to be the recipients of food that's donated from across the entire region of North Georgia. And one of our business partners, and I know this is a business show, and I really want to give a shout out to Publix Supermarkets.
Right.
Publix is a huge partner of Action Ministries, and it's about this time of the year. In fact, right now, they're running an in-store promotion where folks can go into a Publix supermarket and donate $5, $10, $15, and when they do that, Publix turns that into food, and they donate that to Action Ministries and the Salvation Army across all of North Georgia. And so we've received between $500,000 and $1 million worth of food product from supermarkets and from their generous customers. And so we're able to then bring that into a warehouse, and we bring volunteers into that warehouse, and along with other food that gets donated from every nook and cranny of the community, we then pack food boxes. And we pack every food box standard. It comes with about $25 to $30 worth of food product that's non-perishable. And those volunteers pack 20,000 food boxes every calendar year. And those food boxes then go to our partners, their faith partners, their schools, their civic clubs who are distributing those food boxes all across the region to families and individuals who really could stand to have the nutritious food on the shelves in their pantry.
You know, speaking of volunteers, I made a trip to a mission trip to the West African nation of Mali a few years ago. I had never really seen anything like that. And when I came back, I was asked to speak at a church about the experience in the bush country over there. And I've heard a bunch of people come back, and I determined what I was not going to say was I got more out of that than the people I went to help, because it's what everybody says. But when I sat down and began thinking about the experience, I couldn't escape saying that, because it just was the overriding thing. And I think for people that help in a ministry, there is always that element, isn't it? When you go to Absolutely. Help someone and you find that you yourself are the one that got the blessing out of the thing.
Well, and you know, it's true that we all receive a blessing when we serve. However, I sure hope that the person who's on the receiving end of the service actually did get more out of it than those of us who were serving. But so oftentimes, I've talked about the relationships.
Right.
And, you know, relationships are formed when we serve. And,
right.
And when relationships happen and they grow, we are changed, and those that we're in relationship are changed as well. And you know what? You and I are not. We have a lot to give, but we also have a lot to receive in this world.
Right.
And so when we work with people who are economically disadvantaged, they may have something to gain from our partnership, but we certainly have something to gain as well. We get to see people who are courageously clawing themselves up out of a very difficult situation.
Right.
They have lived through some hard times, and we are inspired by their stories. We're touched by their stories. And we're stronger as a result.
You know, and it is so easy, isn't it, to, when you look at the, I'll just use the term less fortunate, when you sort of look at that nameless, faceless blob of people, it's not that you don't feel some empathy and some care, but it does take on a very different meaning and a very different, fills a very different place in you when suddenly you have a name and you know that dad and you know the wife and you know the kids and you know the struggles they're facing. And all of a sudden it takes it out of this academic type setting and becomes something very real for someone to do.
And you know, Eddie, that's why at the beginning of your show I told you how many individual people we serve.
Right.
You know, we're not counting widgets here. We're not counting meals necessarily or beds or bed nights. We're counting human beings.
Right.
And let's treat them as such. They are worthy of our dignity and respect. And so the goal, I think, at Action Ministries and for all of us should be to see people for who they are as human beings.
More to come with Reverend John Moeller and Action Ministries. Back in just a moment. You're listening to Driven to Business. Welcome back to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. Let me remind you, we're streaming live on biz1190.com, and today's program will be podcast on eddiemayfield.com and on iTunes, talking with Reverend John Moeller with Action Ministries. John, you run a nonprofit ministry. I'm speaking in business terms here, a nonprofit ministry. You have a master's degree in divinity. And you also have a business degree, which I find a bit interesting. Talk to us about the similarities and the differences, perhaps, of running what you would see running a business and running a ministry.
Sure. And you know, I think that I started out in business. I was going to work in the international business area. I got that degree from the University of Georgia. And then I felt a call into ministry, and I pursued that master's at Emory University, Candler School of Theology, and pastor churches for a dozen years before finding my way halfway back to the business world. And I think that the nonprofit sector is that meeting place where business and ministry oftentimes intersect. And we get to facilitate the work between the business community and ministry. And I stand at that crossroads, and I direct traffic, and I have the opportunity to, you know, engage my staff in the delivery of ministry. But frankly, we have to be prepared in the nonprofit sector to interface with the business community and find ways for them to use their skills, their talent, their passion, and employ those gifts and talents in the service of others.
You know, you'd already mentioned one very important relationship you guys have is with Publix. But I'm sure there are others that you have that way, perhaps even with small businesses, perhaps, which
Well, you know, I think about our partnership with the Bank of North Georgia.
Right.
The Bank of North Georgia, headquartered right here in Alpharetta, and they're a great partner of ours. And what they realized is they want to be involved in their local community. They've been doing it 100 years.
Right.
And we approached them about our food boxes, and we said, hey, you could get your customers involved, and your customers could donate $5, feed a family of four for up to 3 or 4 days. And the bank said, you know what, that's perfect. It's an opportunity for our associates to be involved. It's an opportunity to get our customers involved. And they are this week wrapping up a campaign that has raised more than $43,000 that will serve low-income families who are economically distressed and put food on their shelves, particularly at the holidays. So, you know, we are very fortunate, and we've got to tap into these business partnerships because without those and without the support of the business community, we're not ultimately going to be successful.
What initially, when you're over at Georgia and you're studying business, what was there anything particular that sort of turned your career path into the ministry and away from business? Was there anything particular?
Well, you know, I just could not. I had a wise pastor who one time said, when I was asking him about what career path should I follow, he said, you know, you just need to run from that call to ministry as long as you can run from it.
I've heard a lot of guys say that.
And when you can no longer outrun it, then you know you're called. And sure enough, I ran as hard and as fast away from it as possible. And at the end of the day, I finally succumbed and released myself into it. But, you know, I found that sweet spot. I found that sweet spot where I've got a little tent-making business with Action Ministries, but I'm trying to figure out how to bring the faith community in and be more relevant in the community to those who need a little help.
I had actually had a meeting with our pastor this morning dealing with, and I know that I've always sort of cringed a bit at the term church business because they don't seem like that seems incorrect. But you know what I mean by that? It's the rote functions of personnel and you know.
That's right.
The management side of the business part of the church, and that's where many of us come alongside our pastors and try to help them and take some load off of them in that area. I have noted, and I'm sure you have too, and he's talked about it, as being both a business person and active in church leadership, and we've talked about this a bit already, but it takes more leadership skills, I think, to motivate people and to inspire people to do what you need done in a church or a nonprofit environment or volunteer environment than it does when perhaps you're paying their salary. And I'm just curious about your thoughts about that.
Well, you know, I think sometimes managing volunteers is like herding cats.
I bet, yeah.
And, you know, everybody comes to the cause, A, because they got a lot of passion, and you could never pay people for that passion.
Right.
That passion
right.
is something that is that they bring with them and that it's a powerful motivator. However, every institution, I submit to you, every good business or church or nonprofit has to be plan-driven and has to have a compelling idea of where it's going because people will come, they'll get involved once, but if they don't feel like they've had a good experience or if they don't know where the organization's going and they're not sure how the impact is going to be finally felt, they're not going to stay with you. And so our job as good leaders has got to be articulating a clear and compelling mission and a strong business plan. And I use that term business plan, strong business plan as to how we're going to get there. And building that business plan with the influence of volunteers, with their insights and with their observations and with their skills and experience, is going to help you get where you need to go. In my line of business, I have to get alignment between the board of directors and the staff and the volunteers and our faith partners. And we know we're going to get where we need to go when we've got mission alignment with all of those groups working together. Too oftentimes we see situations where folks are misaligned. The board's going one direction and the
right.
staff's going a different.
I was thinking of the term vision while you were talking about it because there is a lot to do with it, isn't it? The idea of sharing your vision. And you know, even in business or and certainly in church, you know, the pastor or the business founder or leader can have a vision, but if you've got that by yourself and no one else has bought into it,
it can be a lonely place.
That's a very lonely spot to be in and a very frustrating spot to be in. And you have to go through this little thing sometimes, and you alluded to it, this dirty little word for people like me called process that you really don't like. But you have really got to go through what sometimes is a very grueling process to get buy-in and perhaps even get changes and alignments all along the way here. And it's not going to probably emerge exactly like it started. But then when you all do line up, it's a very powerful thing, whether in business or in church. It's a very powerful thing.
And that's true. And, you know, the nonprofit sector, it was designed to be difficult to change.
Right.
And, you know, we have boards of directors, and change oftentimes comes slowly. And so we've got to build consensus, and we've got to state a vision. We've got to allow people to for that mission and that vision to wash over them, for them to find out how they embrace it. And it takes time. But when you get that alignment, then the flywheel starts going and progress starts happening quickly. You know, we can all have progress for a day and for a month. We can be a flash in the pan, but to have that year over year, quarter after quarter, continued progress and success, it takes that alignment.
You know, this is a bit humorous in hindsight. I don't think it was too humorous while it was going on. I'd mentioned to you earlier that working with a downtown Atlanta ministry a bit, he told the guy that runs that told me a story that there was another pastor that wanted to, they had been helping him out, and then the guy decided he would do a few things on his own. And so what he did, he had the idea he was going to take a food sort of truck and park it in a park down there where a bunch of homeless street people live, and just, you know, feed them hot dogs. Sounds good.
Okay.
Good idea. My friend said, "You want me to help you plan that?" And he said, "No, we're going to do it ourselves." Okay. And he did. Well, what happened was they went down there, they did it, got mobbed by a bunch of people wanting hot dogs, ran out of hot dogs. The people in the truck got drug out of there and roughed up a bit from it all happening. And I think I learned a lesson just even hearing that story about, you know, you should align yourself with people that know what they're doing. Many times, rather than starting your own thing, I think of there's a sort of a Christian study called Experiencing God, where the idea is God's at work all around you. So just see where God is and line it with Him. Instead of always trying to start something new, maybe God's already doing something there, line up with Him in that area, and that certainly was true for this guy. I'm sure you see well-intentioned people start ministries, but just sort of miss the boat a bit.
Well, Eddie, you know, we don't like to play together well, and oftentimes, you know, people they want to do their own thing because they want to do their own thing,
right,
and they don't want to submit to someone else's authority or leadership, and it's an opportunity for them to, you know, who knows what their personal motivation is, but quite oftentimes they don't understand the value of knitting themselves together with a bigger operation, and you know, they don't realize that their own resources will at some point give out, their time, their talent, their money, and so that can be a flash in the pan. So What I like to see, as you have so well articulated, people joining together, linking arms, and with established brands, with established traditions, with established institutions like Action Ministries, and I think there's a lot of room for autonomy within that tent, so to speak,
right,
for folks to utilize their gifts, their talents, and to do something that is compelling. But to work in a coordinated effort, we're going to get, you know, it's a scenario where 2 + 2 is going to end up being well more than 4.
You know, when I first started our business back many years ago, you know, I went around to different people and asked for advice. And one of the pieces of advice you get that sort of, you know, it's sort of a home folksy saying, everybody says, you know, is that you must learn from experience. Well, that's not necessarily true, and experience can be a very, very hard taskmaster.
Ooh, it can.
And actually, in many cases, I'd rather learn from your experience. You know, if you've gone bankrupt, why don't I just learn from that instead of going bankrupt myself? and figuring it out. And I think that also applies in the area of what you're doing with ministry. It's very good to come alongside someone that's already been over these rough roads and sort of ride on their back and say, okay, let me join with you and help you rather than going into this and making all of my own mistakes. One more segment to come. You're listening to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. Glad you're here. We're talking with Reverend John Moeller with Action Ministries. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the final segment of today's Driven to Business. We're talking with Reverend John Moeller with Action Ministries. And by the way, you can find them at actionministries.net. There will also be links to John and his organization on eddiemayfield.com. Today's program will be podcast on eddiemayfield.com and on iTunes. So if you miss any of today's program, check us out on that. John, what should we expect in the future for Action Ministries? You guys got so much going on. You got any big plans?
Well, you know, we've talked a little bit about the housing programs of Action Ministries,
right,
and we've talked a little bit about the hunger relief programs. The third leg of the stool is really our education programming.
Right.
And what we are looking forward to doing in 2015 is launching financial management courses and potentially GED and basic literacy courses across our footprint, which includes all of North Georgia, Gainesville, Athens, Augusta, Rome, and, of course, right here at home here in the metro Atlanta area. But we firmly believe that education is the key that unlocks a brighter future for Georgians. And we're going to be looking forward to bringing more education programs forward, which is going to give an opportunity for more business partners to get involved. We're going to be looking to some of our financial institutions to share with us and with our clients the institutional knowledge that they've collected on how to manage money, and that's going to be a tremendous opportunity. We're going to be partnering with educators on GED and basic literacy, and we're going to be looking for partners who have space, computer labs and the like, who want to have an impact and use those spaces to touch the lives of fellow Georgians.
You know, I know this is a year-round full-time ministry for you.
That's
we are entering the holiday season, though, and as you, I'm sure, know, a lot of people perhaps are more inclined or think a bit more during the holidays of people that are less fortunate, and they want to help out, and I always encourage them to do that, but I also try to encourage people that that's not just a holiday, it's not only a holiday. But do you see an increase in that?
We do. And I think, you know, you and I are counting our blessings this time of the year.
Right.
As the weather turns
right
colder and as we begin to think about our blessings, we're overwhelmed. And we say to ourselves, goodness gracious, we have to do something for others. And Action Ministries is in a great place, a well-run organization that keeps a very low overhead, and we're a great place to donate to. In fact, we want to be your favorite place to donate to. But we are a very blessed region, and this is a time to make it known that we want to contribute. But the truth of the matter is that when children are out of school, that's the greatest time of need in America today, because there are more mouths to feed. There's more cost at home. And children are fortunate enough in some cases to be eating breakfast and lunch at school, but there's more demands on the family budget when the kids are out of school during that long 10-week summer than any other time of the year. And it's often a time of the year when most of us are vacationing and thinking about fun times at the beach or at the mountains. And so, you know, it's important that we don't forget our neighbors in need all throughout the year.
Well, let's be very blunt with everybody. How do they contribute to you? How do they do that?
Well, you know, we make it very easy, and there's a couple ways. One is actionministries.net. On just about every page of our website, there's a simple, easy button to donate, and that makes it easy for folks. And frankly, I think that's where we'd love to see the traffic, is come right to the website, to actionministries.net, and you can do it.
You know, I was thinking while you're talking about these kids being out of school. You know, we talked earlier on about the people being perhaps a beat down when they fall on hard times. And I think maybe I don't know. I would think Christmas might be, and the holidays might be even worse about that, because you look around and you see all the
Tinsel and the
trees. All the happiness, supposedly, and all this, and you're like, man.
It's an expensive season. Yeah. Wow, it's an expensive season for families. You know, there's much to celebrate, and the children have expectations on their eyes, and you can just feel it as parents who are struggling to make ends meet, that those children have the same hopes and dreams that any other child has, and yet that parent is feeling the burden of meeting that expectation.
Right.
For those children. So it is an expensive time of the year, and there is a lot of pressure on parents at this time of the year, especially.
You know, before we end the program, I want to ask you about this, because I saw it on your website. You guys have some specific ministries for veterans.
We do.
We're in a time where there are more needy veterans, perhaps, than ever in history. I'm not sure about that, but. Well, certainly up there.
Yeah, the greatest number of people living in homelessness today, the highest demographic, are people who have served our country in many cases.
That's horrible.
Sacrificially, and they've given their best, and they've left it there on the battlefield, and they've returned home to a very difficult economy. You know, Georgia leads the nation in the unemployment rate, and that makes it especially difficult for folks who are returning home, trying to re-enter, and so it is a time to help people with their housing search, to help them with basic services, and Action Ministries is well equipped to get folks going again with housing, with the job search, and with connecting back into the local community. And anybody can get involved with this veterans program. We've got lots of needs. You know, as if a veteran is starting housekeeping again, you know, they're going to need sets of sheets. They're going to need dishes. They're going to need cleaning supplies. And we are constantly on the lookout for groups that will do drives to help us with cleaning supplies, with dishes, and with sheets and towels. So that's another way for folks to get involved with this most important veterans ministry and give back to those who paid a tremendous price for our freedom.
You know, so interesting you should say that. That's something I don't think I would have thought of it all, John, the idea of the beginning housekeeping. Again, that's just my own being naive, I think, but I don't think I would have even thought of that.
Well, you know, we don't until all of a sudden we're moving in and we say, oh, gosh, I need a mop bucket, and I need the 409, and I need the Windex, and all of a sudden I'm realizing, oh, geez, and all that costs real money. So it's an easy way for us who are so blessed to just provide a few essential products to folks who need them.
John, for all the stuff that you do there at Action, whether you know as the president and the CEO, and I'm sure you have to speak at churches and direct the day-to-day operations there and deal with the financial side of it and all that. Of all that stuff you have to do, what do you find the most rewarding? What do you like to do there?
I guess. You know, what I love to do is I love to connect people who have something they want to share, a passion, an interest, a financial gift, connecting them to a cause that really resonates. And Action Ministries is fortunate enough to not be a niched organization.
Right.
We have got a tremendous breadth and depth. And so sitting down with people who have that passion, who have that skill, who have that business expertise, and sitting down with them and teasing out the right fit so that there is a place for them to make a difference. It's rewarding for me to watch people get fired up about serving in a profound way, knowing they're making a difference in the long term in the lives of real people.
You know, I can hear a bit of passion in your voice about this when you talk, and I'm sure folks listening on the radio can do the same thing. You know, I often, and even in what little advice I give to other business folks, is that you need to be passionate about what you do. And I don't mean invented passion where you come up with it. You need to find something to do in your life that you can be passionate about. And if you can't be passionate about it, you're never going to convince anyone else that it's worthwhile.
That's right.
And you do a great job. You've been a great guest. I really appreciate you coming on the program today.
Well, thank you, Eddie. It's been a great time.
Let me remind everybody again to go to actionministries.net, find that very evident, he's telling me, donate button, however that is on there, and donate money. and help these folks out. You can also our volunteer if you've not done a volunteer a mission of this sort with a ministry, you'll really be blessed by doing it, as will the people. Thanks for coming on the program.
Well, thank you, Eddie.
Right, yes. You've been listening to Driven to Business. We're here every Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. Tell your friends right here on Atlanta's Biz 1190. We'll be back next week. I'm Eddie Mayfield.
You've been listening to Driven to Business with your host, Eddie Mayfield. Visit next Saturday at 11 a.m. on Biz 1190 for more Driven to Business. To learn more about Driven to Business, visit eddiemayfield.com or call 770-448-4644.